Well, welcome guys to the Church Alive podcast. So excited you're with us on this journey of faith. Our church exists to reach, teach, and empower people to live free in Christ and transform their world. You might listen to this from afar or close. You may want to check out our website, churchalive.tv, or come visit us sometime. We want to build strong families, strong lives, strong men, strong women. Our theme this year is strengthen, and we just pray that in 2024, God strengthens your life in a unique way. God bless you richly as you lean in to His Word and His presence.
All right, how are we doing today, church? Can we stand so that we can read the Word of God together? My name is Miriam. My husband and I are the pastors of Church Alive. If you're a first-time guest, this is not where we've been meeting recently. We've been meeting at the Williams Center. It's kind of weird being back, but kind of feels like home, right? And so I know parking was fun today, so thank you for your patience and your kindness. Hopefully everyone was really nice and kind out there too. But if you're wondering where Anthony is, my husband, he's Australian. He was born and raised there, left for college. And when God called us to plant our church here in New Jersey, you know, I don't think a lot of people realize the toll it takes on someone to leave their land, to leave their home and their family. And so he left and we planted here. And now he's got this incredible opportunity. He was invited to go speak in numerous men's conferences over the next couple of weekends. And so first weekend, this past weekend, he's been in California speaking to a men's conference. Actually, they named it after his book, Transform Conference, which is really cool. And And over the next couple of weekends, he just got invitations from numerous churches in Australia. And that's always been the prayer of his heart. God, if I'm going to pour into another nation, if I'm going to shepherd another nation, give me an opportunity to still give back to mine. And so this was just an answer to prayer for him to go be a blessing in his country. And I'm so happy that he gets to do that, to not just see men become unstuck, families unstuck here in America, but also across the nations of the world. Amen. So if you can remember, keep him in prayer as he's traveling and making a difference. Well, if you've been following us, we are in week 3 of our relationship series called There Is More. And it's been the heart of Anthony and I to really just impart that thought through scripture that there is more for you. There is more in your relationships. There is more for your faith journey. There is more if you're a single person in here, a student in here, whatever journey of life you are on, there is more for you. There's more of His goodness, more faith for you. And so today we're going to continue with that. As you heard next week, we may not close the series next week. There might be a fifth week. Just there's like another word in our heart for you as well. I think it's so important, this topic on relationships, because we know that society, a healthy society, is built on the bedrock of healthy families. And so that's why it is so important that we do that. Hey, we're going to read a passage of scripture and then we're going to pray. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 4 and verses 7 through 9. It says like this: In the same way, you wives should yield to your husbands. Then if some husbands do not obey God's teaching, they will be persuaded to believe without anyone saying a word to them. They'll be persuaded by the way their wives live. Your husbands will see the pure lives you live with respect for God. It's not the fancy hair, the gold jewelry, or fine clothes that should make you beautiful. No, your beauty should come from within you, the beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit that will never be destroyed and is very precious to God. In the same way, you husbands should live with your wives in an understanding way, since they are weaker than you, unless you can bench press more than him, obviously. But show them respect, because God gives them the same blessing He gives you, the grace that gives true life. Do this so that nothing will stop your prayers. Actually, can you repeat that with me? Do this so that nothing will stop your prayers. Hear it again. Do this so that nothing will stop your prayers. Finally, all of you should be in agreement, understanding each other, loving each other as family, being kind and humble. Do not do wrong to repay a wrong. Do not insult to repay an insult, but repay with a blessing, because you yourselves were called to do this so that you might receive a blessing. Would you lift your hands towards heaven and pray with me? Father, thank you for your word. It encourages us. It exhorts and corrects us. So today, give me ears to hear. Give me eyes to see. And give me a heart and a mind to understand and live out in understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord Jesus, I pray that you help me help your people today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You can be seated. And today is gonna be more of a teaching, more of a conversation, although I'm the only one doing the conversing. But I'm gonna be sitting with you. And if you have a notebook or if you wanna open up the app on your phone, I really think that not because of the words I said, but because of God's word and the teaching that is out there that could really help you, I think it'd be worth it for you to take some notes. And when you go home, really think about it. But recently, if you've been coming for a few weeks, you've been hearing that my husband and I just moved. And, you know, we were praying for a space that had a little bit more land and not as expensive as living in this area. Who knows this area? Because you're close to the city, man, they kill you on taxes. And so we wanted a little more space and we wanted it to not be as expensive. And so we found this amazing spot with so much land at a fraction of the cost. We couldn't believe it. Now, being there for 2 months and meeting some of our neighbors, we know why. It is so much cheaper out there. Guys, we moved to Snakeville. We literally live where there's about 10 different species of snakes, two of which are poisonous. Guys, we have rattlesnakes in our yard. Yeah, in New Jersey, whoever thunk it, right? Like, what? And a copperhead snake. And you know, because of that, now I am armed with all different types of weapons to protect me and my children and my beloved dog who likes to bite people from snakes. And so basically, I have a snake stick now. What's a snake stick? I'll tell you another time. But it's great. It's on my dining room table, and I'm fully equipped to take them out. But I thought about the snake mistake story. Has anyone ever heard of the snake mistake story? Yeah. Neither did I until this week. Ready? So listen to this story. I'm going to read it to you because it's better read than summarized. There was once a woman who was wandering in the desert and was bitten by a poisonous snake. All she could think about was how angry she was at this poisonous snake for biting her, and how angry she was at herself for wandering in the desert or moving 30 minutes north of New Jersey. As a result, she could not relax, forgive the snake, or forgive herself and move on. Basically, because she was so resentful, her mind was unable to calmly remember that there was a solution to this poison problem, a solution which could save her life. All she simply needed to do was suck out the poison from her arm, as she had learned to do years ago. Fortunately, this woman could not remember the simple solution because she was so focused on being grumble, grumble, angry at the snake and at herself, so she passed away. The end. What is the moral of the story? Don't get bitten by a snake. You know what I mean? No, the moral of the story is, if you get bitten, deal with the venom before the venom deals with you. Today, I want to talk about resentment. I want to talk about less resentment and more understanding. And before we go into it, let's break it down a little bit. What is resentment? Resentment is bitter indignation at having been treated unfairly. In a study titled Anger and Its Cousins, the researchers define resentment as a hostile emotion qualified by the perception of having suffered a wrong. Sometimes resentment is something that sneaks up on you. Actually, researchers have told us, and I've done a lot of work over the last week or so on this topic, and researchers and psychologists are stunned at how much this thought or this topic of resentment has been flooding search engines. People desperate to find the remedy for resentment towards their spouse or a family member. You see, resentment initially starts off as a feeling or identified as anger, and that anger then leads to a loss of connection. Eventually, that anger, you're just like, ugh, you just withdraw from the person. That loss of connection then leads to a loss of intimacy, basically meaning resentment is an intimacy killer. And everyone lives on autopilot. There is tension in the air. There's some love, but not enough to create intentional fires like Anthony was talking about last week. Resentment causes people to withdraw. It sneaks up on us. It builds up over time. And if we're not careful, eventually resentment becomes sin. Why? Because eventually it becomes unforgiveness. Harboring resentment, the truth of the matter is this. You think it might actually be hurting the person that you feel has harmed you, but I've noted and I've noticed that actually harboring resentment hurts you. You know, there's times where if I'm a little annoyed at my husband, like, I don't know, maybe he didn't do something or forgot something and he walks in, I have this thing that if he sees my eyes and he sees the fire coming out of my eyes, that he'll know I'm upset with him, but he just like walks right past, goes right to the fridge, gets his toast, gets whatever he wants. And then later on, he's like, hey, babe, something wrong? I'm like, have you not seen my eyes? Didn't you know I was mad? And he's like, no, not really. You know, and so sometimes we think that giving a cold shoulder or holding or harboring resentment is hurting the person, but really it's hurting you. What can cause resentment? Obviously, a lot of things can cause resentment, but I want to focus on just a couple of them today, and maybe it could help some of you identify that very thing that you've been feeling and that has been building up inside of you. Number one, what can cause resentment? You've been lied to by omission. Why do I say by omission? Obviously, if you've been lied to, we all know that that makes you lose trust. That's the, you know, the trust is the foundation of a relationship. And so if you've been lied to, okay, you've been lied to, all right, you found out, let's move on, let's forgive. But lying by omission implies a type of deception. You kind of want them to think that you fully owned up to something, that you were humble enough to tell them the truth. But the truth is you've manipulated it, you've twisted it in your favor, so you can look slightly humble, but the truth is you're just as deceptive. Omission, lying by omission, is a form of deception and manipulation. And for some reason, that causes a whole lot of resentment. Not for some reason, for obvious reasons, it causes resentment. So be careful. We've got to be the kind of people that fully admit, fully take responsibility and ownership when we fail, when we've messed up, because omission becomes a great deceiver if you're not careful. Number two, not following through on commitments repeatedly. I see this happening a lot when a spouse is probably just needing some help at home or with the kids, or maybe a spouse is needing help financially. Maybe one of you is an overspender and you're just not following through on commitments time and time again, promising to commit to certain things. Maybe it's in your health. Maybe, you know, you have a problem in your family line with diabetes or cancer, and your spouse is like, I just need you to get healthy. I just need you to take your health seriously. You're like, all right, babe, yeah, I promise. I'm going to start eating healthy. I'm going to start eating clean. I'm going to go to the gym. And they see the change for like 2 weeks, and then you're back to your Doritos and your Netflix binging. And then you're like, come on, babe, I need you to, come on, really take your health serious. The kids and I, we need you here, or whatever it is. And you keep asking, you're like, yeah, okay, I'm gonna commit. And then 2 weeks later, you fall back on those commitments. And then in time, that gets layered up in the person you're in a relationship with, and they just don't believe what you say anymore. That causes resentment. Number three, this was a big one I had to learn. Disrespecting what is important to the other person. You know, my husband, he, and if you're in Transform, you know this, he's a big advocate for working out. And for a couple of different reasons. Number one, because it's healthy. But number two, cancer actually runs in his family, in his uncles and his mom. You know, she had cancer as well. And so for him, being healthy, going to the gym is a non-negotiable, because he wants to show up for me and my kids. He wants to be there in 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years. And so for him, like, that's important. Also, because of how much he preaches and how much he pours out, he needs an outlet to help clear his mind, to help him stay mentally, emotionally, spiritually fit. And so for me, a long time, for a really long time, he would come home from the gym and I'm there cooking and I'd be like, I'm slaving away. And you're there walking in all happy from the gym. I don't get to have me time. And you know, like the victim mentality, you know? And he'd looking at me like, babe, you can join me. And I'm like, I have no time. I'm serving you like a drama queen. And the truth is, I disrespected what was important to him for a really long time. And maybe you do that. Maybe you don't understand why their family is so important to them, or maybe why how they do certain things, or why they have a hobby, or whatever it is. Just as long as it's not taking priority over you, it's important that we respect what they love and we respect what's important to them. Don't minimize what's important to your significant other. Number four. This may sound a little bit like the other one on not following through on commitments, but inconsistency. Inconsistently, I'm talking about the consistent inconsistency of your character. Does your spouse wonder who you are that morning? Like, all right, are they going to be the happy version or the mad version? Am I going to have to walk on eggshells today, or is he going to be super sweet and kind, or is she going to be super sweet and kind? Do I have the, you know, the angry Miriam today, or do I have the sweet and fun Miriam today? And sometimes what happens is when the people in your life, whether it's friends, whether it's your kids, whether it's your spouse, when they're not sure who they're going to get, resentment starts to build up. They start to withdraw. They start to say, you know what? You're not safe. You know what? I don't know if I could trust who you are. And so all of a sudden, that inconsistency causes you to withdraw, causes you to lose connection. Number four, this is important, unspoken expectations. We've got to stop assuming things and learn to talk through them. Do you have an ideal of what your home life should look like? Okay, you can put your hands together. I guess that resonated for someone. You know, some people, like, we have this great program here at church called Simbus for those who are engaged and are going to get married through one of our ministers here. Simbus is saving your marriage before it starts. If you plan on getting married, I recommend everyone doing it. Don't just assume that you guys are. This is the thing. So many people assume, oh, we've been together for so long. We're just so compatible. And then all of a sudden, you don't talk about the important stuff. And even not just the important stuff, the little stuff like, who do you expect to take the trash out? Like, that's a thing. Like, it is a thing, people. You know, who's going to change the light bulbs? Who's going to get up on that ladder and take, you know what I'm saying? And so there are some things and some big ones like raising children. Maybe they have no problem that you come to church on Sunday, but the time you have, this has happened, guys. We've been pastoring for 18 years. The moment they have a kid, she or he says, we're not taking them to church. I'm not raising them as a Christian. Or they get married and all of a sudden they would go with you to church and then all of a sudden they're like, nah, I just went to church just to keep you. That happens. We've dealt with this. And so all of a sudden there's some unmet expectations. And if you're not careful, unspoken expectations are premeditated resentments waiting to happen. How are you going to raise your kids? How do you budget? How important is date night to you? Is it important enough that it's weekly or monthly? Or how are you going to, what about sex? We got to talk about it. Oh, a bunch of people just went like this. She said the S word. Oh my gosh. We're in church. This is holy ground. The Lord created it. He said, be fruitful and multiply. And the truth is, we're good with the world telling us about it. We're good about watching it on TV or hearing it in songs. But the church, we've got to talk about sex. So many marriages, Christian marriages, they feel awkward talking about intimacy because they're like, it's awkward. I mean, it's not awkward when you talk about it with your buddies. And so the truth is, we have to talk about healthy parameters of sex. If you're not married, the Bible says, wait, there's reward in that. But if you are married, there's protection in just, you know, protecting the marriage bed, having the boundaries that Anthony was talking about last week. It is so important. But unspoken expectations, because we assume, actually hurts our families. I want to bring some hope today, though. I know some of you, maybe as I'm speaking, you're like, oh, do I have resentment? And maybe you don't even realize it. Maybe you've just been going day by day, week by week, and you're like, okay, I'm still serving in my household. I still honor my parents, or I'm still doing what I need to do. I'm good. But if you're going to be honest, I wonder if some of you as your spouse, or if, you know, maybe it's a parent, when you think about them or when you see them walk past you, is there a little frustration, a little bit of a... oh, I hope they trip. You know what I mean? Or is there a little something, something that maybe is stuck inside of your heart and you have no idea why it's there? That could be resentments. And there's a whole lot of things that we can talk today that can bring healing for resentment and bring anger. But I believe one of the things that we can talk about today, one of the things that the Bible tells us is so important in our relationships, is growing in understanding. We need more understanding. Help them understand you. Help them understand you and make an effort to understand them. This applies to parents and children. This applies to coworkers, to even bosses with their employees. This applies to all relationships. Sometimes we have friction with people because the truth is we're all different from people. God, if God made us all the same, wired the same, this would be a boring world. And the truth is God has made us different so that we can sharpen one another, so we could die to ourselves, so we become more and have more grace for people. And the truth is so many of our resentments can be solved with some good old-fashioned heart-to-heart conversations. Why do I say heart-to-heart? Because when I say heart-to-heart, it implies love. It implies kindness. It implies tenderness and vulnerability. Because there's a whole lot of conversations that don't have any of that. No kindness, no vulnerability, no love, no tenderness, just a lot of attacking, a lot of exaggerations, a lot of stonewalling, a lot of door slamming. And so if we can learn how to have healthy heart to hearts, where we both, the intention is for both to win. Because so often there's this competition, right? Who hurt who more? Who's busier than who? And who does more and who does less? And we try to compete with our spouse. But the problem is, if the Bible tells us that we're one, if you're trying to cause your spouse to lose, you've just lost. We have to help each other win. And how we help each other win is by understanding each other. Help them understand you and try to understand them. Make an effort. If the only time you're explaining your frustrations or your hurt is when you're furious and shouting or slamming doors or giving the silent treatment, no one is hearing you. Your cynicism, your sarcasm, it's not helping the situation. It's actually causing more poison to harm your relationship. James chapter 1, verse 19 says this. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. That's hard. Am I the only one that struggles with that sometimes? The truth is sometimes this is what in today's life, not just today, I think from all society, because if James wrote it, it's because he knew that this was an issue even then. I think what really happens is we're really slow to listen, we're really quick to speak, and we're really quick to get angry. So I want to just talk a little bit about how to have these conversations, how to speak and how to hear. Number one, when you speak, be clear, calm, and courteous. Why do I say be clear? Because half of the time we wait so long to like explode because we have so many moments that we've held resentment for. When it's time to talk, you give your spouse 500 things on this list. And if you're anything like my husband, he doesn't do well with lists. He heard the first thing and that's it. You know what I mean? He's like, all right, I'll do number one better. I'm like, no, I gave you 500 things. He's like, you lost me at 499. You know what I mean? And so often we wait too long and there's so much built up. And then before you know it, you're a ticking time bomb and no one responds well in those explosive situations. Clarity is kindness. I used to have this tendency, and my kids still like to say, they were here last night, they're like, Ma, you still have that tendency a little bit. I have this tendency, I like to over-exaggerate sometimes. I think it's the Portuguese in me. Like, I'm like, oh my gosh, it was like a million years ago. They're like, it was 2 days ago. Okay, you know, you always do that. I've done it once, you know? And so sometimes in our relationships, we tend to over-exaggerate. We say, you never do this. You always do this. And that's not kindness. Don't attack. Be kind. Be clear. Be respectful. Now, if you're on the receiving end of that conversation, this is very important. I'm going to spend a couple more minutes on this one. I think we all struggle a number two here. When you are hearing, listen to understand. Don't just listen to reply. Don't just listen to justify. We are always in a hurry to defend ourselves. We are always in a hurry to sometimes putting words in someone's mouth. I'm going to be really open and vulnerable with you guys. I've been sharing it in the past services. Like I mentioned, we just recently moved. And I've only ever moved like two times in my life. So I underestimated moving with three kids and a dog to snake land, okay? Totally underestimated it. Apparently we've got bobcats, mountain lions, snakes, and what's the other thing that we have? Bears. Lots of them. And so that's really exciting for me, this Jersey suburban girl who lives in the city for her whole life. Anyway, we've been really busy because we thought it was a great idea to move at the same time the church was moving. And we thought it was a great idea to move at the same time that the kids were super busy in sports. And so before you know it, stress piled up like I've never felt before. And if I'm going to be honest with you, over the last few months, I've just been in over my head. I felt like I was drowning. And so I'm like, oh, and I noticed that Anthony and I hadn't had the same amount of time for each other as we used to. And that's going to happen. You're going to have seasons where you're busier than others. And that's cool. And you just have to make sure you keep finding your way back to each other. And in this, and then this day, I just felt it. I felt like the house was a bit cold. And it wasn't because the fireplace wasn't on. It was because we just hadn't really connected in a few weeks. And so I just started having a conversation with him, and normally I'm the one that doesn't listen well, but this time we're sitting there and we're talking, and I'm like, hey, I was like, literally, there might have been a couple of tears. I'm like, I need help. I'm drowning. And he looked at me, and he's like, are you saying I don't help you? I was like, did I say that? No, I did not say that. Did you hear? Are we in the same room or are you in China right now? And so it was this funny moment where I'm like, why are you putting words in my mouth? I didn't say that you are not helping me. Do you understand the words coming out of my mouth? You know what I mean? And so it was this funny moment. Jackie Chan, you guys know that movie? Yeah, Rush Hour. Oh yeah, we quote that to each other all the time. And so it was this funny moment where I'm looking at him like, babe, you're doing what I do. I need you to listen to understand. Stand, you know, and I was like, no, I'm not saying you don't help me. I'm just saying I need help and we need a plan because like I'm drowning here. And it was this moment where he was like, oh man. And then he got to share with me how he was feeling. Cause to me, I look at him, he's a super positive guy. My husband, like, man, the world could be falling apart. He's like, Jesus sits on the throne. I'm like, the world is falling apart. Oh my gosh. He's like, oh, hail King Jesus. And I'm like, oh, come Jesus, you know, and so we're like super different. And so because he's constantly positive, I'm like, oh, nothing's wrong with him. He's not doing this and he's not doing that. And he actually like had a real vulnerable moment with me. And I was like, yo, oh my gosh, there's something wrong too with him. And the funny thing is like, I'm like, wow, I didn't even know. So I was starting to build up this resentment that he always looked happy. And obviously he wasn't stressed because he looked great. And I'm here like carrying the weight of the world. And then he's like, no. And then he started sharing what he had been dealing with. Like sometimes you just preaching four times every week, the mental, emotional, spiritual, physical part that weighs on you and just the different things. And he was just sharing. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And so in that moment, we both just like woke up to something. We're like, man, we just gotta understand each other better. We gotta get on the same page again. We've been so busy, we gotta turn towards each other and get on the same page. Because the truth is, if you're just listening to respond, if we're just listening to justify, we miss the heart, we miss the sentiment, we miss the pain. And that's why there's so much conflict still left unresolved. Because sometimes we're competing with who's more tired, who's more stressed, who's more hurt. You did this, you did that, and you just go in circles and nothing ever gets resolved. In a conversation, we simply need to ask ourselves, what is he, what is she really trying to say to me? Instead of, is she accusing me or is he accusing me? Listen for what she's saying. Maybe she doesn't say it well. Maybe he doesn't say it well. In most cases, men don't love having conversations. In most cases, when a woman's like, we gotta talk, they're like, oh, darn it. They're like, great. You know what I mean? Actually, it's the opposite for Anthony and I. He's really good at having the conversations. And I don't. I'm like, oh gosh, I just want to like lay here in a fetal position. Leave me alone. I'm in meetings all day. I have to talk to people all day. And he's really good at, if he senses a little tension in the air, he's like, babe, let's talk. I'm like, why do we gotta talk? We gotta talk because we gotta get on the same page, because we have a future and we have a family and we have dreams from heaven to fulfill. And the enemy wants us angry. The enemy wants us disconnected. The enemy wants our family dysfunctional. And we gotta fight against the flesh that says you don't need to talk. We gotta fight against the flesh that wants you to stay a victim. We have to come against the flesh that says no one understands you. No one is for you. That's victim mentality. And we are not victims. We're victorious. Amen. You know, after that conversation, after I shared and he shared and I listened and he listened, we decided we move forward. We apologized, we forgave, we gave each other clear next steps. I was like, hey, so this is actually, because sometimes you're like, I need more help. Okay, I'll help you. But if you don't lay it out, it ain't gonna happen. And so sometimes, I know this sounds super elementary, like, all right, really? Yes, lay it out. What do you need help with? Make it clear. Like for Anthony and I, we did a simple thing. We created a shared note on our phone. Like there's a, you know, the note app. I created a share list on there like, okay, hey, this is what I need, because he is forgetful. I'm not gonna lie. So if I want him to win, I have to help him win. If you wanna win in your marriage, you gotta help them win. You can't just be like, well, you should just figure it out on your own. Oh, so you don't want your family to win? You got to decide. Sometimes we treat them like, oh, I want us to win, then help them win. Man, sometimes we're like, well, they should figure it out. They're an adult. Get it together, boy. Get it together, girl. Really? You're one. So the way you talk to him is how you're talking to yourself, too. Number four, if you can't celebrate your differences, try to understand them. What do I mean by that? Like, some differences we can't celebrate. You know, maybe one of the differences, they have an addiction problem. You can't celebrate that. Maybe one of the issues, the differences is one is really a bad spender. You can't celebrate that. But maybe you can try to understand, why is there an addiction issue? Why is there a spending issue? Why is there this going on? And if you can try to understand that, maybe you can get help together. But there are other differences that are silly differences, right? Like, I'll tell you, there's some funny ones. Like, some people don't like how their spouse cleans or how their spouse folds clothes. Then you clean, then you fold. I kid you not, there was someone who told me years ago that their spouse complained how they did groceries. I was like, my guy. Did she bring you food? Do you have a fully stocked fridge? Get over it. Are you kidding me? We like demean and insult each other over the tiniest little things. We treat the people we vowed to cherish and love and protect like trash sometimes. The way we speak to them, we would never let anyone see how we speak to our kids and our spouses sometimes. If they could even get an ear in that house, you would be mortified. Even with your kids. And I'm not gonna lie, I'm gonna be honest. Sometimes I do give my kids the line, I'm your mother, I tell you, and that's the end of story. But that can't be the only line. There has to be moments where I sit down with them on their bed, and I do this often, and I say, help mom understand. Help me what's going on. All kids are gonna be different. You can't, yes, same household, same parents, same way of parenting, but all three kids, God's wired them differently, or all four, or all kids, whatever. They're wired different. You can't expect them to all be the same. You need to learn how to understand them. You know what helps us have more understanding? Growing in grace towards those in our life. Grow in grace. Man, we need the grace and mercy of God every single day. Every single day, yet we think our spouse doesn't need our grace and mercy every single day. If we need it, they need it too. 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When you grow in grace and forgive, when you're tender-hearted, you are giving up the poisons that accompany hurt and anger and bitterness and hatred. Tender-hearted. Tender-hearted is not weak. It's actually strength, because it shows restraint and self-control. There's this notion that kindness is weak. No, actually, it's easier to be a jerk than it is to be kind. So show me you're strong by being kind and tender-hearted. You know, hurt people hurt people. And you see a lot of people in marriages repeat the same cycles of their parents. The way they saw their mom speak to their husband, the way they saw their husband speak to, you know, the father speak to the wife or to the mom. And they just learn, it's learned behavior. They even say, I'll never do that to my spouse. And then it's like, you know, brain memory. You just repeat the same thing. And then before you know it, you're hurting the very people you said you would never hurt. And so I want to tell you, maybe in this church, we can instead of say hurt people, we can say hurt people get free and then they heal people. We don't have to be hurt people who hurt people because of the blood of Jesus that we sang about, because of the cross and the finished work of the cross. We get to be hurt people who heal people, but we got to do our part. Man, don't think counseling is weak. Counseling is power if you go to the right counselor. If you have issues, if you were abused, if you, whatever it is, don't become the statistic. Don't become a hurt person who hurts people. Be a hurt person who found Christ, who got help, got free, and now you heal people, and your family is a new legacy. There aren't generational curses of anger and adultery and insecurity. No, now you have a new cycle of hope and freedom and joy and a legacy that goes on forever because you decide that maybe you were hurt once, but now you're healed. Deal with the venom before the venom deals with you. Deal with the resentment. Deal with unforgiveness. Deal with the hurts. Don't let it layer up. Don't just sweep it under a rug, because in time, that rug is going to look really lumpy. It's going to be very awkward to walk on. It's going to get really hard to clean up because it's going to get stuck in the crevices. Clean it up. Get some fabuloso, baby, and clean up that mess. The blood of Jesus is fabuloso. That stuff smells really good. Real good. And the truth is, so many of our houses smell bad because we don't take the trash out. The trash of offense. The trash of holding on to crap because, well, they hurt me more. You're the one who's going to start stinking. Can you stand to your feet? We read earlier in 1 Peter that if we don't learn to live with understanding, our prayers get hindered. And I have to just tell you, man, like, as pastors of this church, man, we try to provide everything for our church. We have that, the guy coming next week, Joe Single. We have a financial guy coming. Why? Because we want you guys free in your finances. We want you guys to free to dream, free to believe God for more. We have a Celebrate Recovery from people who struggle with addictions. We have transform groups of every type of thing. We want to do so much because we love this house. We love the sons and daughters of this house. But there's one thing we can't do for you. We can't forgive for you. There's one thing we can't do for you. We could pray for you. We could believe God for you. We can provide all these amazing groups for you. We can try to create all the avenues to make you be this victorious person that Jesus died to make you. But only you can forgive. Only you can stop your prayers from being hindered by unforgiveness. So today you have a choice. And you might say, Pastor Miriam, you don't understand. I've been trying to forgive my father. I've been trying to forgive my spouse. I've been trying to forgive my mom. I've been trying to forgive this person for years. And I still feel X, Y, and Z. My friend, forgive again. My friend, trust again. Believe again. Get up again. Years ago, there was someone who really hurt my family bad. My parents. This is before we were, actually, no, we were already married. This person was a jerk. And that's to say it plainly. And I'm going to be honest, man. I started praying and my prayers were not very friendly. I was like, Lord, if by chance bus 190 just wants to go past that house, you know, he'll go and meet you, you know, if you want to. And then I got convicted because I was praying for someone's injury. And I felt the Holy Spirit say something that really offended me. He goes, Miriam, start praying for him to be blessed. I was like, Lord, don't you know what he did? He's like, yes, but I want you to not be affected by his ugliness. And the only way that you can be free from what he did is if you pray for his blessing. I'm going to be honest. The first 10 days, I was like, Lord, I pray with that little jerk. And that's how I started. But it's not how I ended. By day 30, I was like, Lord, I pray you bless that man. I pray that you heal that man. I pray provision for that man and his family. Lord, I pray that whatever makes him a jerk would stop now in the name of Jesus. And all of a sudden, my heart that was twisted, bitter, and angry became free to love, free to just give all of God's blessings to him. And maybe that's what you need to do. You need to start praying God's blessing over this person. You need to start declaring God's blessing over this person and just believe, God, whatever it is, maybe the reason why he hurt you or she hurt you is because they're hurt. And so maybe growing in understanding is there's something clearly wrong with this person, Lord. Help them, bless them. All across Israel, why don't we bow our heads together? Maybe there's someone in here that has been hurt. Maybe there's someone in here that you have felt resentment in your family, resentment in your relationships. I want to tell you right now, ask God to give you the supernatural strength to forgive. Forgiveness is not a feeling, it is a decision. And every day you have to make that decision until you decide and you know you're fully free from it. All across this room, forgiveness is something that God gives us as well. And maybe you're in here and you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior for the forgiveness of your sins. Today, I want to invite you into that relationship. If you've never received Christ, not just as your Savior, we love him as our Savior, but he wants to be your Lord, Lord of every part of your life. So if that's you, if you want to give your life to Christ today, if you want to receive his forgiveness and walk in his victory, would you just lift up your hand so I can see it? I'd love to pray for you. Yep, I see all those hands here. I see those hands here. I see that hand there. Yep, wow, I see all those hands in the back. I see you, sir. I see you, ma'am, up here in the front. I see that hand, sir. Thank you so much. I see that hand on the left here. These hands here in the middle. Yep, that's awesome. Over there in the back, I see your hand too. Those two people in the back there. I see you, ma'am, all the way there. You, ma'am, in the middle there. I see, okay, there's lots of you right now. So why don't we repeat after me, the whole church together. Dear Lord, thank you for your grace. I don't deserve it, but I'm grateful for it. Today I give you my life. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I ask you to be my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Did you receive that today? Amen. Hey, if you raised your hand to give your life to Christ, whether you're in the overflows, I know there's quite a few of them, and if you're online, do text next step to 97,000. If you're in person, please stop at our next steps counter. Grab this free resource for your life. It'll bless your world. And we'll see you back next weekend at the Williams Center. God bless you. See you then.